You're listening to a Big Finish production.
Doctor Who Short Trips. Erasure by Gary Russell. Read by Sean Carson.
We'll be safe in the basement. Or maybe I should say, cellar. Who knew the House of Heartshaven had such a well-stocked wine cellar? And unlike the rest of the house, well-strengthened against tremors and other natural disasters. Clearly the family like to ensure the wine is always safe. Are you awake? You took quite a knock on the head up there. Still feel your pulse, that's something. Look, I don't know if you can hear me, but we're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I've sent a communication back to the capital. They'll have a skimmer here soon. Can you manage a smile? You do have the most devastating smile, you know. But don't let anyone know I said that. Including you, it seems. Stay with me, Leela. Look, I'll, listen to me. Let me tell you something, anything. Something to focus on, that's what they always say. Got it. I know what I'll tell you about, because you've asked me often enough. Let's talk about your favorite Time Lord. I'd like to think he's your second favorite after me, but let's face it, I know my place. Come to think of it, I'm probably your third favorite after him and Romana. Of course, knowing my luck, you'll recover. Remember this, and then tell me I'm your 18th favorite Time Lord. So, anyway. The Doctor. Yes. Well, as you know, he's never been my favorite. I mean, he's fundamentally a criminal. I know, he saved us all from Omega, and the Master, and the Sontarans, and the rise of the killer cats of Jen Sing. Which, in itself, was not one of this planet's finest moments, I can tell you. The CIA didn't handle that one at all well, but luckily, we made sure no record exists today. A rare moment of a Time Lord cover-up that actually benefited all Gallifrey. Listen to me. Talking about how the CIA covers things up. When you and I first met, I wouldn't hear a word said against any part of the Celestial Intervention Agency. Loyalty meant everything. Anyway, this isn't helping you stay awake. Let's talk about him. The Doctor. Mind you, it'll still come back to the CIA, but I suppose with me everything always does. So, well, I don't know how many years it goes back. I was younger then. Had more hair, certainly. The High Council had been monitoring a world called Belascon. The APC Net had thrown up a prediction that, uninvestigated, the Belascons had the potential to do great harm to the universe. Universes, all of them. And they were a rather uninteresting species at heart, devoted to science and arts, and not particularly warlike or aggressive. And yet, they had discovered something that could send them so easily down that path. And they would never know, quite literally. I was called in to see one of my seniors, Coordinator Van Cell. And he was there with the Keeper of the Record of Time. That told me something big was happening. Something worrying. Matrix Keepers rarely got involved with the day-to-day running of the capital, preferring to spend their days observing and seeking the ability to read truthful timelines from the cloister wraiths. For the head of their little clique to emerge from the catacombs was a sign, not a good one. Sure enough, the Keeper told us about Belascon. Basically, in messing about with their science experiments, at some point, one of them had stumbled across the ability to artificially create Cronon energy. Vansell explained that we needed some interference running, which was odd. This was the sort of job for which he would normally summon a junior grade Time Lord, give them a time ring and send them off to sort the mess out and be back in a nanosecond. But then the Keeper was soon waving her hands about and muttering something about Gallifrey disappearing. Indeed, the entire Rassilonian time era being lost. And then she stopped and went silent. It took me a second to realize she was pointing at me, saying, "It is Narvin's destiny." Before I knew what was happening, Vansell was ushering me out and saying, "I'll talk to you later." And that was it. I waited in Vansell's office, and after a few moments he walked in, looking a bit strange. I mean, Vansell was strange at the best of times, but this was really strange. He produced a time ring and slid it on my wrist. "You're going to Beliscone," he said. "Stop their experiments. Permanently." The Beliscones, it transpired, had discovered very rudimentary time travel by using the Chronon energy I mentioned earlier. And they were using it for time manipulation. More by accident than design, we hoped. Various members of the Beliscone elite families had begun trading in the buying and selling of seconds, minutes, even hours of time. This meant people could go back and put right things they thought had gone wrong in their lives. Perhaps an accident or a death. If that wasn't bad enough, some unscrupulous types were going back even further and erasing entire family lines to further their own wealth and prestige. The trouble was, when they returned to their present, the time breaches had healed, and whilst indeed entire timelines had been erased, no one else was aware of this, including the returnees. Vansell continued that the Beliscones were doing this by literally projecting themselves back along their victim's personal timeline, no matter where in the universe they might be. It was an amazing discovery, certainly, but even I realized that, unchecked, the Beliscones might accidentally wipe out entire planets or galaxies before long. So, I was to extract the technology and take whatever measures were necessary to ensure they couldn't access the information again. Any measures. As far as Vansell was concerned, there were to be no avenues out of this for the Beliscones. If it looked like I couldn't stop them, the CIA would arrive en masse, set up a local oubliette, and eradicate them. I've only read about the oubliette of eternity being used once before on an entire species, erasing their entire time stream, making sure they not only didn't exist anymore, but ensuring they never had existed. We won't even do that to the Daleks now. Although, frankly, maybe we should have. Anyway, Vansell tapped a code into the time ring, and whoosh, I was gone. And then I was there, in what I can only describe as a paradise. Oh, Leela, it was amazing. I'd never seen anything so beautiful close up. Trees with fruit, blue skies with clouds, green and golden grass, animals and children, running around and playing. I must have looked completely out of it because when a man walked up, I assumed he was a Beliscone elder. I mean, why wouldn't I? He looked at my CIA tabard, up and down like he was trying to measure me up. And then he asked why I was there. "Greetings," I said. "I am not of this world. I am Narvin from..." And he just cut me off with an impatient wave and a sigh. "I know who you are. Celestial Intervention Agency. Unsubtle and a bit dim, probably. So who sent you? Which idiot?" I told him it was Coordinator Vansell. "Vansell?" He almost spat. "Vansell. Vansell. Never heard of him, but I'm sure he's just as annoying as the rest of them." And then a youth wandered over. And that's when I realized. Neither of them were Beliscones. I closed my eyes briefly, sent out a slight telepathic wave, seeing if I could identify the species. The boy, no, but the rude man. I opened my eyes and stared at him. "Have you quite finished?" he asked. Adric, meet a useless Time Lord. Useless Time Lord, meet Adric. But I couldn't focus on anything other than the man. You. You're... I started to say, but he turned his back. Yes, he said. Yes, I am. Now, come on. If you've been sent here, I imagine it's for the same reason as Adric and I, although I'm guessing that my resolution will be less scorched earth than yours. And then the boy confirmed my suspicions. Doctor, he asked, why is a Time Lord here? He looked at me. Are you here about Romana? Because... But the doctor shook his head and Adric fell silent. Back then, I had no idea who or what a Romana was. But I absolutely knew who the doctor was. Everyone did. A renegade, a rabble-rouser and troublemaker, who'd even tried being president of the High Council once. Arresting him and taking him home was very high on all CIA priority lists. Doctor, I called after him, in the name of the High Council, I am placing you under... And he just told me to shut up. Not very politely. Adric looked at me and whispered he'd already learnt a while back that shutting up when told to do so by the doctor was always best. Otherwise, he got terribly cross. Well, this was my first off-Gallifrey mission, and I quickly weighed up my personal priorities. Sorting out Belascon was more important. Arresting felons could come later. The doctor looked at me and offered me two choices. You can either stand there and do nothing but look useless, or, he said in a manner that suggested this wasn't his preferred option, or you can come with us. We have a meeting with the Rians of the Science Council, the Belascon Elders. He reached back and put a finger on my lips. But remember, don't speak. Let me do the talking. I'm used to all this kind of thing. You'll just mess everything up, knock pot plants over and generally embarrass us. Well, you embarrass you. I won't be embarrassed. I don't do embarrassing, do I, Adric? Adric gave a response that he absolutely didn't, but said it in a tone that suggested the doctor actually embarrassed himself quite a lot. I decided my best course of action was to follow, keep both my problems together. We then entered a massive domed building, which Adric, pointing to a sign, told me was the science library. I could see this, of course. The time ring enabled me to translate all words and languages. But this Adric seemed determined to treat me like an idiot. I decided to treat him like an annoying time tot. The doctor walked into the main hall of the library like he owned the place. I can see why people are in awe of him. In this body, he was astonishingly tall, which gave him a silhouette of power. He had both a long coat and scarf in Petrex's colours, which is odd because, as I recall, he was a Prydonian. And then it crossed my mind that it was probably a colour on other planets too. But was it? I had no idea. Unlike him, I was a Time Lord who prior to this day had never been off-world. Who knew what similarities to Time Lord culture there were across the stars. The Belascons were also apparently in awe of him, and it was immediately clear he and Adric had been here for a while. They were making casual small talk, although I felt there was an undercurrent of fakery to it all. The chief scientist, Rianne Klebe, eventually handed the doctor a data disk. "Here's everything you need to know, Doctor," he said. "Please do not bring your people into this. We know we are in the wrong, and my junior Rians are currently tracking down everyone who has misused the Cronon technology." The doctor commented that the problem, therefore, seemed to be over, and so I spoke up. "It's not over, Doctor," I said, "because the actual technology that enabled these transgressions needs to be dismantled, destroyed." I could see from the look Rianne Klebe gave the doctor that my comment was not just unwelcome, but he seemed to take it as an affront, a threat even, which I thought was fine. It was a threat. The doctor may have been convinced the Belascons were repentant, but my mission was to make sure it never happened again. And I said so, citing the High Council of Time Lords and a dozen other articles of time that meant nothing to the Belascons but nevertheless were important legally to be said at that point. Rhian Cleave asked who precisely I was.
Nobody important, just a pointless observer, was the doctor's rather unnecessary dismissal. So I repeated what I was there to do and insisted that Rhian Cleave take me straight to the Cronon device so that I might remove it from his planet. I had gone beyond asking. I was demanding. And then I told them what Van Cell had told me about the Oubliette of Eternity and what it meant for them. To say the doctor was appalled at the threat of the Oubliette would be an understatement. He was towering over me, trying to intimidate me, but I wasn't having it. Now all my training kicked in, and I reprimanded this exile, this wanderer in the fourth dimension, and told him just how irresponsible he was, how much damage he had done to the reputation of the Time Lords and Gallifrey over the years, and how I was prepared to use the Oubliette on him, too, if need be. I wasn't, obviously, Leela. That was way beyond my jurisdiction, but I hoped he didn't know that. Nevertheless, his rage was intense, and he yelled at me, using words like idiot, ignoramus, and you mediocre troglodyte. However, I realized that something was going on. Another of the science elders, Rhian Tarf, was yelling at Rhian Cleave, saying that Belascon had every right to use the Cronon energy. And who were we, the Time Lords, to demand anything? I found myself yelling back at him that as the only people responsible enough to utilize time travel, we were his superiors. Oh, Leela, I doubt you've ever experienced a time eddy. Of course, even if you had, you wouldn't know about it. Only Time Lords can sense them. It's a strange feeling. Like you're not quite there, and yet you are there 1,000 times, in 1,000 different minds. It's a sign that time is changing around you. To most people, the effect is instant. An interstitial heartbeat faster than a microsecond. To people like me and the doctor, it's like watching the world through treacle. Even breathing suddenly becomes an effort. Our brains are genetically disposed to fighting this, you see, to ensure that we remain aware, conscious. When the effect stopped, I wasn't quite sure what had happened. Rhian Cleave and Rhian Tarf were still arguing, but this time it wasn't about me. It seemed to be about something in Rhian Tarf's hand. And I recognized it. A small, clear crystal, like the stalk of a plant, with three tiny branches of silica growing from the top. I knew immediately that this was the source of their Cronon technology, the source of everything they were doing wrong. Then slowly, the two Rhian spotted us. It was clear Rhian Cleave was seeing the doctor for the first time in a while, as if the past few moments hadn't happened for him. The doctor threw me a look, acknowledging that, like me, he understood exactly what had happened. Just not why. Rhian, he said slowly, may I present Subcoordinator Narvin, a representative of the planet Gallifrey. Rhian Cleave smiled at me and said how pleased he was to meet me. I have not heard of your world, he said, but any friend of the Doctor's is a friend to Belascon. What can we do for you today? The doctor frowned, clearly trying to work out how much had been changed during the time breach. And I realized he too had spotted the crystalline object and recognized it for what it was. I stayed silent, because there was something, some nagging feeling at the back of my head. Something was very different this time around, but I couldn't quite place what. Rhian Cleave and Rhian Tarf were still dressed as before, that crystal being the only addition. And of course, they were both being very charming towards us. The doctor approached them. I believe we discussed a data disk, he said gingerly. Rhian Cleave nodded. Yes, detailing the people who had accessed time and meddled with it. Well, that was something, I thought. We were still on track. But I'm afraid it cannot be supplied. This was Rhian Tarf this time. The information is not collatable. The doctor frowned. He looked uneasy, as if he, just as I had been, was aware that something was amiss here after all. It must have struck us at exactly the same time, but the doctor vocalized it. Adric, he cried. Where's Adric? And of course, instantly, the image of the youth was sitting on the tip of my mind. Someone had changed time, and in doing so, had erased the Doctor's friend from existence, just as the Belascons had been doing to one another these past few weeks. The very thing I had come to stop had happened right under my nose. The Doctor was furious at the Rians, at the other Belascons, at me, it seemed. But really, I think, at himself. He started to stomp away, hands in pockets, as if trying to find something else he'd lost. The Belascons had no idea what he was angry about. They simply didn't have any awareness that Adric had vanished or even existed. While the Doctor paced back and forth, I explained to the Belascons what had happened. Their faces were a mixture of incomprehension and yet also total comprehension. Did they know, actually know what had happened? But how could they? After all, with each occurrence of time changing, they should have known nothing. The web of time would simply have rewoven around them. And then I realized they held that crystal. You did know, I said to them slowly. You had to have. Otherwise, how could you have been willing to give the Doctor that disk of information? The two Rians looked shiftily at one another, but that didn't stop me. You two have been exposed to that crystal, and it enables your memories to be unaffected. Rian Cleeb sighed. Neither Rian Tarf or myself do know precisely, but we are conscious that things change. We see glimpses. Taking his hands out of his pockets, the Doctor bellowed across the room, "Of course you do, you idiots! Because you were first to use what you had discovered. You've absorbed Cronon energy, at least enough to sense time breaches, which begs the question, how long have you been doing these experiments? I assumed it was only a few weeks at most." The Doctor looked at me, then back at the scientists. "Well," he shouted, "how long, Rians?" Rian Cleeb stood up, adjusting his robes. "Doctor, Narvin, Rian Tarf and I discovered this 784 years ago. The crystal has given us hugely extended lifespans. The two of us have never aged since. And in turn, that has given us the time to carefully manipulate the timelines here on Belascon, ensuring that the right governments were elected, the right people rose to the top of their professions. Because if the wrong people got in, our funding might have been stopped. Our work would have been for nothing." "Your work? Your work?" The Doctor was almost shaking with rage. "How many timelines have you changed? How many lives have you erased? Just to enable you to carry on committing murder in the name of science? In the name of greed?" "Oh, it's really not like that," started one of the Rians, but the Doctor waved him down with a ferocious wave of his arm, striding towards them both, snarling. "Not like what? In what way is what you have been doing for decades not tantamount to temporal genocide? Who knows what your planet could have achieved if not for you two?" But Rian Cleeb was adamant. "You don't know that, Doctor, any more than we do. But what we have achieved..." The Doctor's face was level with Rian Cleeb's. But when he spoke, it was almost a whisper. His contained anger so powerful, I thought the very building would topple simply in shock at the quiet menace in his reply. "What you have achieved, Rians, is inexcusable to the universe. That is why Narvin is here, to take away your power source and ensure your planet continues at a proper level of evolution. But what you have taken from me, that is something you will never be able to replace. I promised Adric, when I took him away from the Teredonian starliner on Alzarius, that I could look after him. But in the wink of an eye, you did something so heinous, so malevolent, that they haven't created a scale yet to describe how off the top of it your crimes are." Using my time ring whilst he'd been yelling, I'd accessed the Matrix on Gallifrey. "Doctor, you've said Adric was aboard a Teredonian starliner, yes? I have a record here of a Teredonian starliner exploding in space in sector 27693. Apple Alpha. But the temporal readings around that incident are in flux. Settling down, but in flux. It's the sort of thing we're trained to spot in the CIA. When time has undergone a breach, it heals itself, like a scab on a scratch. And we read that, and we know something is amiss, because obviously time shouldn't need to heal. The doctor was nodding. Assuming that was the Starliner that eventually crashed on Alzarius, but now never will, that must be the point Adric was removed from history. The doctor looked at me, and I almost saw a smile on his face for the first time. He bounded over and started going through his pockets again. A Satsuma, string, a little dictaphone, a clockwork mouse, and a tiny watchmaker's hammer. "Thank you, subcoordinator," he said. Then he tapped his hammer on my time ring, and in a heartbeat, I realized what he was doing. "Now, hold on," I started, but it was too late, and I was somewhere else. He had programmed the time ring to send me into that time breach. I looked around. I was inside a spaceship. I could feel the rumble through the floor, movement. I had done exactly what the Belliscons had made possible. I had traveled down someone's timeline. But rather than change their personal future, the doctor had used time like a scent to help me track them down. I was on a big industrial ship, not designed for luxury, but practicality. There were no windows, just endless corridors, which I tried navigating, trying to find what. I wasn't looking for Adric, that was for sure. Somewhere on this Starliner was his ancestor, many generations back, that needed to be saved. And the only way to do that was to find whatever caused the ship to blow up and stop it. I briefly wondered why I should bother. Truthfully, neither the doctor nor Adric meant anything to me, least of all allegiance. And then I realized. The time ring was not on my wrist. The doctor had kept it, which meant my only way home was to succeed in my mission. Then he'd have Adric back and would bring me back too, I hoped. Clever doctor. I also wanted, at that moment, to punch him on the nose, which wasn't something I recall ever thinking about anyone in my life before. Clearly, he brought that out in people. So, I wondered what on a ship would make it explode. Propulsion units are a pretty good target. Or placing a bomb. Or placing a bomb in the propulsion units. I saw a sign on the wall. It was written in strange script, and without the time ring, it would take some actual effort to focus. So my synapses could translate it. After a few moments, I mastered this. I saw more signs as I walked, until finally I saw one that read, "Engine room." I thought it curious that I saw no one else. The ship seemed deserted. Were they already dead? Was I too late? Eventually, I passed something called Great Book Room. I put my head in and saw objects stacked one on top of each other like coffins. Inside, bodies. No, I guessed, not bodies. This was the Pteridonians in suspended animation. That's why I hadn't seen anyone. The ship was on automatic and would reawaken the crew as they approached planetfall. I heard a crash and went to look around. Someone else was here, and it came from the direction of the engine room. As I rounded the corner, I could see someone. They were carrying a box, clearly a bomb of some sort. I called out. I don't know why. Maybe I thought saying, "I am a Time Lord, a high-ranking member of the Celestial Intervention Agency from the planet Gallifrey," would make them throw up their hands and surrender. Instead, they glanced back at me and then ran away before I'd even got three words out. It was Rian Tarf. Running fast was not in my nature back then, but run I did. It was clearly in Rian Tarf's nature even less, because I caught up with him quickly and challenged him to give me the bomb and give up. He smiled and just sat there on the floor and placed the bomb beside him, his hand hovering scarily close to the big red detonator button. And I realized this was the first time I had ever met someone who I can only describe as utterly mad. If you blow this ship up, thousands of people will never be born, I said. He nodded enthusiastically. Including the doctor's friends' ancestors. And once we show him we can do that to one of them, we can go back through his timeline, erasing each of his former companions. Only he will feel the anguish and pain of their loss. And we will have the satisfaction of knowing that not only can we master time, but we can manipulate a legendary Time Lord. People will come to Beliscon. They will pay billions for us to use time to sort out their problems. We will become a sort of time bank. Now, as a member of the CIA, I am not particularly trained in negotiation, or physical fracas, or frankly, deep philosophical discussions about the merits of temporal and causal reality and its effects on the web of time. What I am reasonably well trained in is being straightforward, blunt, and using the fastest solution. So, I took out my staser and shot Rian Taff down. Sigh of relief, I started towards him and the discarded bomb, and saw both Rian Taff's body and the device flicker and vanish. I waited and waited. Oh, come on, Doctor, I said. Don't leave me here. Perhaps something had gone wrong. Perhaps he had no intention of retrieving me. Was I going to spend the rest of this and my future lives stuck on a starliner with no one but deep-frozen aliens to talk to? And I was back on Beliscon. The Doctor was grinning widely. I wasn't sure if it was because Adric was back beside him, or whether he had known I was panicking and had rather enjoyed being responsible for it. The two Rians were back in their seats, but this time weren't even pretending they weren't aware of what had happened. The Doctor addressed them. You two are going to give me that time crystal. Rian Taff held it tighter and smiled. And why should we do that? You know we have mastery over time. You know what we can do to your friends. I think you have lost this one. The Doctor produced his dictaphone from inside his pocket, where it, like him, had been protected from the time breach. And he activated it. And it played back the entirety of the conversation from earlier, after Adric had disappeared, and the two Rians revealed what they had done. The two Rians threw one another a shocked look. So you see, never bluff a bluffer, the Doctor said. Either I get that crystal, or this recording gets beamed into the homes of every single person on this planet. The two Rians seemed to shrink into their seats. At least they had the decency to know when they were beaten. He held out a hand, and Rian Cleeb passed the crystal over. The Doctor pocketed it. Right, well, bye-bye, Beliscons. I'd like to say it's been fun, but really it hasn't. And he looked at me. Bye-bye, Subcoordinator Narvin. And he tossed me my time ring. But Doctor, I said, what's to stop them starting again? With another crystal? Unlikely. The crystals are extraordinarily rare, but if they do, I will be back. And these gentlemen will regret it. Eternally. He turned away from all of us, although I'm sure he gave me a little wink, as if to say, not really, but hopefully I've scared them to death. After his TARDIS dematerialized, I gave my own warning to the Beliscons. Understand this. The CIA on Gallifrey are far less forgiving than the Doctor. You are on our radar now. Now and forever. Don't ever trouble us again. Coordinator Van Sale is itching to use the Oubliette of Eternity on you. To erase your planet's entire time stream. To not only make sure you cease to exist, but guarantee you never, ever existed. I then tapped my time ring and was instantly back on Gallifrey. dear, sweet Leela, is how I first met your friend, the doctor. Listen, the skimmer's landing. We'll soon get you back into the open and head back to Romana in the capital. I wonder if I ought to tell her the state her cellar is in. I'm glad you can't hear me, Leela. Because my story hasn't ended. You see, many years and administrations later, Vancell, well, he died. And then I took over the CIA, shortly before you and I met. But there was unfinished business, always at the back of my mind. You trusted the doctor, I know. But I didn't know him like you did. He didn't automatically have my trust. So, once I had political power, I sought permission directly from the president of the High Council of the Time Lords to use, one last time, the Oubliette of Eternity. I couldn't trust that the Belascons wouldn't try again. For all I know, they had. Maybe the universe was changing every few minutes, and even we didn't know. So, I used it. Without any hesitation or conscience, I erased the planet from time. Every man, woman, and child who had ever existed, past, present, or future, irreversibly gone. And I felt nothing, Leela. Not sadness, or guilt, or anything. Just pride and a job well done. And that's another reason I'm glad I met you when I did. Because you've made me so much better over these past few years. The Narvin of today would never use the Oubliette. It's an abhorrence, a device of pure evil. I needed you to show me how to be a better Time Lord, a better Gallifreyan, a better me. So, thank you. What? Sorry, I didn't realize you were here yourself. Did you hear what I said to Leela? I needed to get that off my chest, you see. I've needed to do that for years. But I think it's best that we don't ever tell Leela about it. She wouldn't understand. Or forgive me.
I agree, Narvin. After all, you may have been the coordinator of the CIA who took that action. But I was the president who signed off on it. And if she knew that, she'd never trust either of us again.